This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Terry McLaurin showed up to practice yesterday. Can we get some poetry snaps, golf claps, or something? Max, I was excited to see him there. Not in pads or anything, not participating, but just out there. Just being a part of the team. Mind you, playing the media game pretty well, too.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Exactly. He, the team, they knew what they were doing. Applause to everybody involved. Terry walks out to practice yesterday, right as it is time for the media to cease any recording. For those that don't know, when we are out there watching practice, the reason that you don't see clips from practice outside of them like stretching is because there are periods where media is allowed to record and periods where we are not allowed to record. Once you hit that period where you're not allowed to record, that's exactly when Terry McLaurin walked out. And that's smart. You got him after practice, so all the footage that you saw was from after practice. As soon as practice ends, it's free reign again. Cameras can come out. You can start recording. You can take pictures. Everything under the sun. You just can't do it during practice. That reasons should be obvious. They don't want you potentially posting anything that could then give them a competitive disadvantage. If you do post something that gives them a competitive disadvantage in that period, it is not good. It's a lot. You get in a lot of trouble. Your outlet, potential fine. Like, it's a whole big thing. You don't want to. You don't want to do it. So Terry walks out after that period is wrapped up. Everybody loses their mind on Twitter, as they should, because, oh my God, he's actually walking out. Most people, I don't think, anticipated that he was going to be practicing, to the point where I don't believe anybody had asked Dan Quinn in the presser prior to practice whether they would see Terry or not. You know, he had said the day before, no more Where's Waldo. This was a very quick game of Where's Waldo. He said it one day, it was over the next day. I thought the game was going to last a lot longer after he said that, but it was over in one day. I'm happy about it. I don't know what this means in terms of a deal. More likely than not, it doesn't mean a ton, but at the very least, he's out there, and we can kind of put at least some of what has happened this offseason behind us. I am not a fool. I understand what, no matter what side of the coin you stand on with the Terry thing, and today's show is not going to be all about Terry McLaurin, I promise. We got some other actual football stuff to get into, including five hot takes for the Commander season that I'm going to give you at 11:20. I'm looking forward to that. I worked long and hard on these. Most of them are positive, in fact. Actually, all of them are positive. So that's going to be fun to get into at 11:20. You'll want to be around for that. But Terry being out there is, at the very least, all right, he is going to get ready for the season. The expectation is that he is going to play for the season. And then whenever, if the long-term deal gets signed, we are going to forget about most of the back and forth, the conversations, the rhetoric that has been kind of spewed during the offseason. When pen hits paper, when he gets his money and he's back out there playing, everything is going to be fine. So him being out there, though, was at least a step in the right direction, and he is on grass. Cliff Kingsbury said, I want my guys on grass. Terry McLaurin is officially on grass during practice. He had been on grass before, but he was on grass during practice. I was thrilled to see that, Max. I liked it. I wanted to see Terry. I saw Terry. I feel pretty good as we sit here today on Friday. Probably going to see him tomorrow at the game. I think the team learned from the mistake that they made, because they did put whoever decided that the Terry thing was going to be an excused absence. They put Terry in a bad spot. You cannot allow your player to not go to a game. It immediately takes rhetoric, even if it is excused, it immediately takes the rhetoric and forces it on Terry to say selfish. Bad player, selfish. Even if he asks and say, hey, I don't want to do this, you still have to be like, no, you need to be here. You need to be here. We don't want to put you in a bad spot. And in allowing an excused absence, they did, in a sense, put him in a bad spot, because people, if you are concerned about the distraction, you are aware that there are people that are saying some not nice things about him, and allowing him to not come to the game is only going to heighten those things, because it's very natural for people that are not all that locked in with the happenings, which most of us are not, because the two sides more or less have kept everything close to the vest recently, which more on that in a second, but they've kept things close to the vest. You're just going to see Terry's not there. Trey Hendrickson is their selfish player. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair to Terry. So I think the team put him in a bad spot by not allowing him, or by not making him go to the game on Monday. But so I put that caveat in there, right, Max, about how it's been kind of quiet lately. To quote Lil Wayne, real G's move in silence. And as we are in the period where it is quiet, we're not getting a ton of news over the past couple of days about like numbers and this and that. Sprinklings, inklings, yes, but you're not getting a ton of stuff. I am under the belief, this is not a report, I'm under the belief that they are really working now, and that we're going to get something done here. My expectation is that Terry is going to be under a long-term deal by the time the season starts. He's back at practice. He's doing the things. He is handling the things that he can handle. It is now time for the agent and the members of the team, whoever it is that actually does the contracting. You know, Adam Peters is like the head of this, but I don't know that he is the one that's like drafting the contract. They have legal for that. But whoever's drafting these contracts up, I believe that they're locking in here.
Day 813 of believing that they are locking in for this contract.
It's the faith of a mustard seed, and it's not going anywhere. I just need a little bit to believe that it is going to happen. But I believe that they are working towards getting something done, and that once the Ravens game is over, we will just be on to New York, and the cloud that has been above the head of the Commanders and this offseason, that being the Terry extension or lack thereof, is going to be done.
This is the Luke McCaffrey anytime touchdown score all over again.
Pretty much, yes. But so the difference is that this one at least has some sort of backing behind it. Like the Luke McCaffrey anytime touchdown bet that I rode into the ground last year, every single week. And unfortunately, I hooked you on board every single week.
I mean, I thought the same as you. The week that I did not bet it was the week it was going to happen.
As soon as you start doing it, you can't jump off of it. So I bet Luke McCaffrey anytime touchdown, and it didn't work.
It's all right. We're doing Jalen Lane this year. It's going to be great.
But my thought process last year was new receiver.
Yeah.
Surely he's going to – new receiver, not a lot of receivers out there. He's going to score eventually. He's going to score eventually.
Eventually.
And he's going to score eventually. And they never scored. But at least with Terry, you can say, all right, he's back at practice. The agent has been around. They need him. He needs them. Get the deal done. Like, Jaden had other options. They stopped playing Luke. Like, I wasn't in control of how much they played him. You know, that's not on me. I'll ride this one into the ground. I don't mind that at all. Speaking of Jalen Lane, spoke about him at the end of yesterday's show.
Yes.
Dan Quinn had some positive things to say about Jalen Lane in his press conference.
Lit up like a Christmas tree.
I'm very optimistic about how Jalen Lane is going to fit into this offense.
As am I.
With the tools and the skill set that they have. As before the show, I was watching the Chase Daniel YouTube breakdown of the four plays that Washington ran in the Bengals game. Only the four plays. Look, I don't care that he's breaking down like a Josh Johnson. All right. I don't care about that. And he rightfully was like, I'm not going to sit here and break down fourth teamers. It's just not going to happen.
Respectfully.
The first teamers only played four plays. He broke down the four plays. That touchdown that Jaden ran in, nobody got open.
Yep.
Like, it was tough. You could have forced something into potentially Deebo Samuel that maybe falls incomplete. Luke McCaffrey got open after Jaden was like 40 yards past the line of scrimmage, which I think was largely because the defense was like, oh my God, he's 4 yards past the line of scrimmage. We should leave this guy alone and go get him. Nobody got open. It's only one play, sure, but considering that has been like the biggest
gripe,
the biggest issue with what has happened this offseason, not having a true legit number one wide receiver, to then watch the only time that they drop back to pass and not see a single soul open was a little alarming. However, I bring that up to say Jalen Lane wasn't doubled, but there was help over the top. And I think if he's in man on man, he gets open on that play and Jaden finds a touchdown. Cincinnati just happened to have safety help over the top. I think they kind of read what they were trying to do. Jalen Lane was on the far right side to Jaden. You had Trips on one side with Bates out there, Deebo and McCaffrey, and then Jalen Lane was kind of on his own on the other side. So they realized, all right, we're going to take away this half of the field. We have a feeling that the corner route is coming. So they took that one away. But I'm really optimistic to see what he is going to be able to provide for this offense. And I think that's going to be the subject of our poll question today, Max. As you look at the two rookies that we are all very excited about on offense, you have Jalen Lane, you have Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
No Ja'Cory Brooks Love, that's crazy.
No Ja'Cory Brooks Love, though we will get to him shortly. But you have those two guys. Which one do you think has a more productive rookie season? Statistically. So that's going to end up, we're going to put that on our poll on our Twitter page at the Team 980 coming up here shortly. You can tweet me at the Denton Day, but we're moving on from the Terry stuff. I know it's been like 6 weeks of this, people. I get it. As frustrated as you are, we are frustrated too. I want to talk about something else.
Anything.
So that's going to be our poll question for the day. Which of the two rookies do you feel like statistically is going to have a more impactful season for Washington? Jalen Lane, who is going to line up at probably to start at wide receiver 4, potentially get to wide receiver 3, depending on the health and availability of either a Noah Brown or a Terry McLaurin, or Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. Because the thing that has kind of tripped me up a little bit is that with all of the Brian Robinson stuff and moving on from Brian Robinson, that everybody has just assumed that Bill is going to fit right into that running back 1 slot. And I do think at the end of the season, maybe at the middle point of the season, as the year progresses, it would not stun me if he starts to get the bulk of the carries. But my expectation is that Chris Rodriguez is going to be starting week 1, or he's going to be the first running back to line up there. They are very much going to do running back by committee.
Very much.
Very much. And I'm very happy with this, mind you. As much as I would have loved like a significant crazy playmaker, the kind of like a Bijan Robinson, Saquon, Gibbs in Detroit, whoever it is, what we saw last year from the running back position, the front office to me is saying this was a flash in the pan. We understand that the running back position can very much be won by committee. We are not going to look for a guy that we can then shell out $18 million to, $14 million to, $12 million to, whatever it is. Would I have liked them to draft Trayvon Henderson? Yes. Trayvon Henderson, I think he's 16-1 to win Rookie of the Year. I would go ahead and hammer that if I was a gambling man. Wink, wink. But I think because they're going to take this running back by committee approach, that you're not going to have like a true definitive number one running back for the first couple of weeks. But I'm anticipating that Chris Rodriguez is going to get the lean, at least in the early portions of the season, certainly in week 1 against New York, at that running back spot. To say if he gets 15 carries, maybe Bill gets, 7-10, and Chris Rodriguez gets maybe 12-15. If they're getting more than that, that means the game against New York has gone really, really well, and they're like running the ball down the throat of the Giants, which would be fantastic.
That or Austin Eckler has happened.
Something has happened. I can't imagine. So that's going to be something that I'm going to focus on in week 1. I don't know what Austin Eckler's role is going to be, because last year he was really, really good in spots, But a lot of those spots, while he did have some really good runs, a lot of those spots were being a pass catcher out of the backfield. And like that Philadelphia game was excellent. He was the best offensive player in that game. The first one, which wasn't a good game for the Commanders, but the Thursday night one, he was one of the lone bright spots for Washington. I can't imagine that he's going to have many games where he gets over or between 12 to 15 carries per game. That's why you have Chris Rodriguez and Ja'Cory Kroski-Mara, which, again, that's like this running back by committee approach. If we have three or four guys, if you include McNichols in there, we got three or four guys that we really, really trust. So we're just going to spread this love around. And I bring that up because I do think that's going to impact the numbers, at least in the early portion of the season, for what Ja'Cory Kroski-Mara is going to do. And then Jalen Lane is kind of in that same boat. We saw Luke McCaffrey struggle to get any sort of real reps in the season last year. I don't know if that was just because they really liked Jameson Crowder. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like they had expectations for Luke, and then for whatever the reason was, they just were not fully matched. They didn't fully get hit, so they decided to go in other directions. I'm hoping that Jalen Lane, because of his ability to play wide receiver, his comfortability to play wide receiver, his experience to play wide receiver, not to be a knock on Luke, but he's still very much in the beginning of his career at playing wide receiver, making the transition from quarterback to wide receiver. Not everybody becomes Julian Edelman in that process. He's still very much in the early days of making that transition, whereas Jalen Lane has played wide receiver for a very long time and played wide receiver at a relatively high-level college football program. Virginia Tech isn't like the highest of the highs in the 2020s, but they're a high-level college football program playing against high-level competition on a regular basis. So I pulled Austin Eckler's numbers up from last year. There were two games where he had more than 10 carries. It was the New York game where they won 27-22. That was one of the best, even though statistically Jane's numbers weren't eye-popping. That was like one of the best, oh my God, this guy's a real quarterback, just dicing up a defense. He has them in the palm of their hand games that we've seen. He had 11 carries in that one. Then he had 13 carries in that Pittsburgh game for 44 yards. And in the Pittsburgh game, 42 yards in that game against New York. In the game they lost to Philadelphia, he had two carries, but he had eight receptions for 89 yards. So I think he's going to be much more of that catch the ball out of the backfield back. If he's hovering around, let's just say, we'll say 5 to 9. If Eckler's getting 5 to 9 carries, if Bill is getting anywhere from 7 to 10 carries, and then we'll say Chris Rodriguez is getting anywhere from, let's say, 8 to 12 carries, and then maybe like, you know, McNichols is getting 2 to 4, that's a pretty good split, I would say. Now, I don't know that you'll hit those numbers exactly every single week, but that's a pretty decent split, and it also keeps your guys healthy for the majority of the year, and you're constantly in that mode where you are changing the rhythm of the game, changing the pace of the game, which is what, if you look at a team like Detroit, that's really what they did well last year. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs was awesome, but then the combination of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery completely just changed the pace of the games, and then they took Jahmyr Gibbs out in the divisional game for whatever reason, stopped running it with him. Thank you, Wonder Kid Ben Johnson, and then they threw it with a wide receiver. God, I love that man. I can't wait to see what Roma Dunze's passing numbers look like this year in the great windy city of Chicago. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dente sitting in for Kevin. So we're going to put that poll up on our Twitter page. So go to our Twitter at Team980 and vote on that. Which rookie do you think has a more productive season for Washington, Jalen Lane or Ja'Cory Kroski-Mara? I will give actual answers to that when we get back. Plus, you will not believe what is happening right now in Dallas. If you think this situation is bad, just wait till you hear what's going on there. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Dende sitting in on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Cordell Woodland's going to join us in about 15 minutes here on the program. He covers the Baltimore Ravens, so he will give us a Ravens perspective for the game coming up tomorrow. A very odd preseason game when you think about it, because I don't know that there are a lot of hot spots on the roster that you're paying attention to. Training camp darlings that you're thinking, all right, will they make the roster? Will they not make the roster? The only one that I can realistically think of is Ja'Cory Brooks. But as the season, as the offseason has progressed, I at this point would be stunned if Ja'Cory Brooks does not make the 53-man roster. If they're keeping six wide receivers, it's Terry, obviously. He's activated off the PUP list, so he is accompanying or he is taking up a roster spot. It's going to be Noah Brown, assuming that he is healthy enough to be ready for week one of the season. You get Debo, you're going to get Luke, you're going to get Jalen Lane, and then the sixth receiver would be Ja'Cory Brooks, something that Ja'Cory Brooks has to benefit him that your guys like Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, Chris Moore don't really have is that Ja'Cory Brooks is young enough to be open to and willing to play special teams. Like, you're not sending Michael Gallup as a gunner on a punt. He's not playing kickoff to go make a tackle. You're just not going to do that at his stage in his career. I mean, the man retired. He was retired last year for injuries. He's not going to come back and be like, yeah, I'll go run down on kickoff. So he's likely going to be out. I can't imagine that KJ Osborne is going to be running kickoffs either. So at the very least, not that I necessarily want to see Ja'Cory Brooks in a position where he's making tackles, but he does benefit you, or he has some sort of upside on the special teams in the return game, and then just using him in a bunch of different ways. I think Ja'Cory Brooks is not a lock. I don't really believe in like locks outside of the obvious. But Ja'Cory Brooks, I'm expecting to make the roster. So because there's not that one specific player or that one specific position that you're looking at and saying, all right, is it going to be this guy? Is it going to be this guy? I do feel like the thrill of that final preseason game is virtually non-existent outside of the fact that it is, I mean, it's football. So we love just watching football, but you're not going to see any of the starters, and odds are you're not going to see a whole lot of guys that will be playing in any amount in 2025 for the Commanders. Nevertheless, we got a poll question up about some rookies that we are thinking are going to play a lot in 2025. You can go to our Twitter at TheTeam980. Which rookie do you believe is going to have a more productive season in 2025? Jalen Lane or Bill? Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt? My answer to this is going to be Jalen Lane. I've really jumped on the hype train for Jalen Lane. It's not that I was never anti-Jalen Lane. I didn't know what he was going to be. I didn't know what his role was going to be. How was he going to make the transition from playing wide receiver in college to playing wide receiver in the NFL? Which, if I think about it, is really silly because I don't know that there is an easier jump over the last couple of years to make from college to the NFL than playing wide receiver. If you're a high-level wide receiver in the ranks of college football, you have had years of working on your craft and the details of route running and creating separation and sort of the nuanced things that I feel like really translate from high school to college, then college to the NFL. And you look at the way that Jalen Lane has participated in practice this offseason. While he is not having the kind of year that we thought, if we go back into the dark days, he's not ash burning the way that like Terrell Pryor was or that Josh Doctson was. But I think that's a good thing. If we were seeing daily videos of Jalen Lane, who's a little bit on the smaller side, climbing the ladder and mossing dudes on a regular basis, I feel like that'd be putting the player in a tough position here. We've seen really good work ethic, being open to doing anything the coaches are asking of him, and creating enough separation between the rest of the pack. You know, Debo is obviously at the top of the food chain for guys that have practiced. Big, big gap between Debo and everybody else. But at the top of that everybody else list has become Jalen Lane. I think they've really enjoyed what they've seen from him, and they realize that he has a level of speed where if you put him in the slot, with Debo doing a bunch of other things, with Terry on the outside and then potentially Noah Brown on the outside, but you create a position for the player to win matchups. And I think Jalen Lane's going to be able to win some matchups. I think he has the ability to run a lot of different routes that fit within the scheme of this offense. And more importantly, I think Jayden Daniels has developed not quite to the level that he has with Debo, because the chemistry with Jayden and Debo, I think, has been really, really good in practice. But Jayden is developing a level of chemistry with Jalen, where I do think you will see him throw him the football. And I am much more optimistic about the potential of Jalen Lane scoring touchdowns his rookie year, way more so than I was with Luke McCaffrey. So my answer on our poll question of which rookie do you think is going to have a more productive season, my answer is Jalen Lane. I have high expectations for Jalen Lane, and I think he takes an offense that was really good last year and adds another dynamic because he, at the very least, is another threat to have on the outside. After last year, when you really just had, you had two. You had Terry, and then at the end of the year, you had Zach Ertz. Max, do you have an answer to the poll question of which rookie is going to be more productive?
I do, and I'm going to take the other side.
Okay.
I had a moment at the game on Monday night. I watched Bill in person for the first time, and I had to calm myself down to tell me.
Fan yourself out.
Yeah, I had to reel it in. I had to reel it in. The past couple weeks, the Bill hype train has never been hotter. So. And fantasy football managers all over the across the country have anointed him RB1. But as you said before, it's going to be a committee thing. But man, that pop, that vision, that speed he's got, that little one cut ability, I think he will kind of rise the ranks of the running back room and eventually kind of cement himself as RB1 later in the season. So I'm going to go with Bill, but it would not surprise me to see Jalen Lane catching dimes and having a great season.
I felt like I was participating in insider trading the other day.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive fantasy football guy. I just gamble. That's just what I have graduated into.
They're come from the same tree.
I am playing fantasy football again this year. My brother had texted me and he was like, "Hey, I got one more spot. Do you want in?" And I was like, "Do I have to buy in or is it free?" And I was like, "If it's free, I'm in there." And he said, "You have to buy in." And I was like,
"Well, how much was the buy-in?"
It was $100.
Oh.
And I was like, "You're lucky we're blood related."
Yeah.
So I am playing fantasy football. But I got a text from one of my friends who is a big fantasy guy. Not like Matt, not a sicko, but mm-hmm. a big fan. You know, there's some sickos.
There are.
He's not a sicko, but he's a fantasy guy. And he texted me, granted, this was like Wednesday, I think it was. He's like, "Is Brian Robinson leaving?" And I was like, "All right, so you're clearly unplugged here. You're not deep into the weeds with what's going on here with Washington." I mean, the guy literally didn't play on the Monday night game, but it's fine. Not everybody is as sicko as we are when it comes to our Commanders. So he texts me. He's like, "Is Brian Robinson leaving?" And I was like, "Yeah, he's definitely gone." And he's like, "Who should I pick up in fantasy?" And I was like, "Oh my God, you should pick up Bill. You should pick up Bill." And he's like, "I just said his name. I said Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt." And he was like, "Is that a running back?" And I was like, "Oh, you are really unplugged.
You are out of the loop here, my brother.
You're like, you're not even. I don't even know if you got a toe in the pool.
He's living under a rock.
Like, you checked in." But you're like walking to a chair. So like he's really not deep into what's going on here. But I was like, you should take Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. And he's like, "All right, I will put him on my draft board." And I was like, "Good luck."
Yeah, best of luck, brother.
Have a great season. I love him, but he plays fantasy football. He's just not locked in like that. I just felt like the stock in Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt is skyrocketing,
which
is why I would take Chris Rodriguez, because my expectation is that Rodriguez, at least at the start of the season, going to get a lot more goal line touches and is going to get a lot more carries. I mean, we saw what that first carry looked like for him. And I was watching in the Chase Daniel YouTube video, I was watching that second carry, which is only a 1 yard gain. If Bates gets his shoulder around just a little bit, he likely takes that one right up for a touchdown. But I think the offensive line has been really, really solid. By the way, we didn't talk about this yesterday. Connerly looks good.
He looks great.
He looks really, really good. Now, because Laremy Tunsil did not play, Wiley was occupying the left tackle spot. So I don't know if Connerly starting at right tackle with the ones for Cincinnati was more a product of they just really like him at right tackle, or more because Tunsil was gone and they just didn't want to take a guy that was a rookie learning a new position and then flip him on the other side.
Yeah.
Wiley gives you the flexibility to play both sides a little bit because he's just a veteran.
You might as well get him some extra work.
But man, I think like Josh Connerly is good. I was very, very laid back in my expectations in terms of what he was going to realistically be this year, just because I know he was drafted in the first round, but it's not unfair to think that you might need a few games before you get into the NFL level when you're switching positions. But he's looked really, really good once he started playing actual opponents.
It's
good practice with New England, good performance against New England, and then good performance against Cincinnati.
It's crazy being able to ask the question, would you rather have Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt or Laremy Tunsil and Josh Connerly? And I think I know which one I want.
I mean, I got two good ones that I feel really confident in right now. That's all I will say on that particular one. All right, real quickly, before we get to Cordell Woodland, I want to play this from Jerry Jones.
Oh,
because
boy.
If you are sick and tired of the Terry stuff, imagine what it must feel like right now to be either A, Micah Parsons, or B, a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Here is Jerry Jones for 3 minutes uninterrupted, which automatically is a terrible idea. 3 minutes uninterrupted with Michael Irvin on YouTube.
I have agreed to give more money than has ever been given in terms of guaranteed money than anyone ever has as far as a defensive player. I've done that. Now, I am the cat that writes the check. Okay? Now, Mike has got 3 years with the Cowboys left. He's got 3 years. At some point, somebody has to have the say over the other. At some point, it has to be that way. My job is managing the check. Okay? Micah's got to do the playing. Where's the least important part of this whole equation we're talking about? What is the least incremental part of the whole equation? The attorney or the agent? Okay, he works for Micah. Okay, he's not the principal here in any way. In any way, they're in here to make their percentage. They're in here to basically, yes, advise Micah, come over to the office and I'll show you exactly what I offered Micah. We got it in the back. It's with. All written down, everything to go. Come down and look at that.
I would get over there and see that.
You can sure look at it. You can sure absolutely look at it. Here is my entire point. My point. Who is it that basically says this is ultimately recognizing we're trying to come together for an agreement, but absolutely, who is it that can go with it? And so the facts are, I don't know that I've ever been around. I've never tried to buy anything. I've never tried to do anything that I actually was going to bring all of the services and somebody else was going to do all the money. But because the in-between guy wasn't exactly the guy that I had fit there, that kept you from doing the deal.
Right.
That's exactly what's happening here. So many times in this industry, you have a different agenda going on with agents.
So Jerry Jones right there, we're going to cut this off just because he's kind of senile and he's just rambling at this point. Jerry Jones pointing the finger at the agent of Micah Parsons and effectively treating the agent for Micah Parsons the way that some of our fan base has treated Buddy Baker, with the difference being that Buddy Baker is very new to these sort of deals that he is attempting to broker between Terry and the Commanders, whereas the agent for Micah Parsons is one of the best, if not the best, agents in the NFL, David Morgetta, who did $1 billion in contracts over the last year. But Jerry is pointing to him and saying he's trying to get his own cut here. To say that that guy is going to blow the deal up for Micah Parsons for his own gain is quite honestly hilarious to me. But what Jerry did say was that he offered Micah Parsons more guarantees than anybody has ever offered a non-quarterback. And Ja'Marr Chase right now has the biggest AAV in the NFL of non-quarterbacks at just over $40 million per year. Listen, man, Jerry is going to say a lot of things. He's going to really preach about this contract, about how he's offering all these great things to Micah. Billionaires are liars. There is something, maybe he is offering Micah a lot of money. Maybe he is offering him a lot of guaranteed money. But there is something in that fine print where the agent, who again has done $1 billion worth of contracts in the last year, is pointing to that and saying, this is not going to work. You are taking advantage of my client, and that is not happening.
So another thing about this, Ryan Clark followed up with David Mulligetta on, I don't know if this was posted this morning or last night, but here, I'm going to play this because this is what he said.
I just hit David Mulligetta, and I simply asked him. I said, did you tell Jerry Jones to stick the contract up his ASS? Because I was like, ain't no way. And he laughed, and he said, I've never used that phrase in my life. So for anybody who was reporting that, for Jerry Jones saying that, this is false. This never happened. This is just another public way to make this situation, which is already ugly, even uglier. David Mulligetta in no way has ever told Jerry Jones or any other general manager or owner that. It's all bullcrap. It's all lies.
It would be hilarious if he did tell Jerry Jones that, but as soon as Jerry Jones said that the agent said to shove that contract up your ass, I was like, all right, he's lost it. He's hanging with Michael Irvin. Maybe he's off the juice a little bit. There's no way that he said that. So if you think it's bad here, at least it's not there. Thank you to Jerry. He restored my confidence a little bit in the Terry stuff. All right, coming up next, Cordell Woodland. He covers the Baltimore Ravens for 105.7 in Baltimore. He joins us to preview this weekend's matchup.
All right, here's what's going on this Friday, August 22nd. Malik Beasley is no longer the target of an NBA gambling pro, potentially opening free agency for one of the league's best shooters. Plus, the Cowboys owner, as we just covered, Jerry Jones, made an appearance on Michael Irvin's podcast to give his side of the Micah Parsons saga. Jerry said he offered Micah a contract with most money in NFL history, most guaranteed money in NFL history for a non-QB. He said and claims that David Mulligetta told him to shove the contract where the sun don't shine. And the Nats, they win 9-3 over the Mets. A shaky start for Mackenzie Gore as he pitches just 4 1/3 innings after a couple hit by pitches and walks for the Nats. Their bats got scorching hot. James Wood puts it away with a 3-run bomb in the 8th. Nats win 9-3 and take the series over the Mets 2-1. They will take on the Phillies tonight. I believe 6:05 is the first pitch. On 106.7 The Fan, this update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Denton's office throughout all the football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dent Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Rob Brown to talk college football in 20 minutes. We got our poll question up on Twitter at the Team 980. Which rookie do you think will have a more productive season for Washington this year, Jalen Lane or Jacory Kroski Merritt? So go vote on that. The Commanders have their final preseason game on Saturday. It's a 12 noon kickoff at Northwest Stadium, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. And joining us now to look at the Ravens side of that matchup is my guy Cordell Woodland. He covers the Ravens for 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. You can find him on Twitter at Cordell Woodland. Cordell, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Hope you're doing well. Before we get to the game on Saturday, what's the latest with Lamar? I know he had an injury scare this week. How is he?
Yeah, I mean, by all accounts, it seems like he's okay. We talked to John Harbaugh after practice yesterday, and he said that they got an x-ray done and it showed no damage. They held him out of yesterday's practice because he was still a little sore. So we'll see going forward. They still expect him to be fine. I think I didn't expect to see Lamar at practice yesterday. But come next week, you get to Monday, and if he's not there, then yeah, I do think the questions will definitely get louder.
What has been the Ravens' biggest overarching storyline of this offseason?
Well, you know, you got the usual one of when are they going to get over the hump? You know, the constant questions surrounded them in the postseason. They have a rookie kicker, Tyler Loop. You know, they move on from Justin Tucker. He's had the off-the-field issues and really on-the-field issues. He was one of the worst kickers in the league last year. Justin Tucker missed games and missed kicks in five games for the Ravens last year. The Ravens lost all five of them. So, you know, he was a big issue for them last year. And, look, you go through his career, he's probably the greatest kicker of all time. So those are going to be big shoes to fill for Tyler Loop, who hasn't had a – you know, preseason game yet where he's made all of his kicks. Now, to his credit, he's missed one in each game, and in each of those games he's responded well with a kick, with a make in his very next kick, and all of those field goals have been longer than his misses. So he's got a strong leg. They like his process. They like his confidence. But that's going to be a huge question mark for this team, considering, you know, they haven't had to worry about the kicker position in a while, and now they've got a rookie out there.
When it comes to the weapons offensively, obviously Lamar is a weapon in himself. Derrick Henry was awesome last year. Unfortunately, we saw some really good wide receiver play from Zay Flowers when the Ravens played the Commanders last year. What are the expectations for him going into 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I think just to continue to build on what he's done in his first two seasons. Last year, he was a 1,000-yard receiver. He doesn't have the touchdown production that maybe you'd like to see. And they get that, the Ravens are just a pick-your-poison type of offense. Like, what one guy doesn't do, the other guy does well. And so with Flowers struggling to get in the end zone as much, Rashad Bateman got in the end zone a ton last year, what I think 11 touchdowns for Bateman. And then you combine that with Mark Andrews, who had who led all tight ends. I think Bateman actually had 9 receiving touchdowns, but Mark Andrews led all tight ends and receiving touchdowns last year. So they just have a lot of different guys that can do a lot of different things. Now you add D-Hop to the fold. I don't think you'll have a Ravens receiver lead the league in receiving or anything like that, but Zay is a guy that definitely is very, very tough to guard in one-on-one situations, very tough to keep track of in the scramble drill, which the Ravens do as good as anybody with Lamar Jackson. You give Zay Flowers in space, and he's a nightmare. So I just think he'll continue to be that. He's a really good route runner. He's got quality hands, and he plays stronger than he looks. He's tough to bring down, and he's tough to get to in one-on-one situations.
How has Mike Green looked?
Fantastic, honestly. Both of these rookies have looked good. Both of their top two rookies, Malachi Starks in the first round as safety, has looked really good himself. But Mike Green, man, I mean, every time the Ravens have put the pads on in camp, he has found a way to kind of be the star of the show. And look, this Ravens team, they were second in the league in sacks last year. I think the year before that, they were first in the league in sacks as a team. But their problem has been they don't have a guy. You know, they don't have a guy that you can just say, go get him. You got a game plan for this dude. Adafi Owe had 10 sacks last year for the first time in his career. Van Noy was really good again last year. 2 years ago, just Nnamdi Madubuike was a force in the interior as a pass rusher. But I don't think they have a guy like Mike Green, who is a bona fide pass rusher that could have the capabilities of being like the rookie defensive player of the year this year. I really believe that. So they think the world of him, and his film backs it up in practice and even in these preseason games. So he's a guy that I'm looking for to be one of the stars of this defense right away.
Is he going to play tomorrow?
That's a good question. I mean, he's played in the first two preseason games. Maybe a couple of snaps. It wouldn't surprise me if he's out there for a drive or two, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's strictly on passing down situations. But it wouldn't shock me either if he doesn't play tomorrow. I think he's a guy that they know what he's capable of, and the Ravens have been dealing with some injuries on both sides of the ball here recently, but specifically in that secondary on defense. So, you know, they may want to play it safe and not play him, but I think if you do see him, you won't see him very long.
What are the expectations for this defense? We know 2 years ago they were one of the best we've seen in a long time. Slow start last year, but got better as the year progressed. How do they anticipate that they're going to start defensively this year?
Yeah, I think they'll start much faster than they did last year. You know, last year was a lot of new. Zach Orr taking over as the defensive coordinator, replacing Mike McDonald, who's probably the best defensive coordinator in football. I think, you know, there's a lot of comfortability now on this defense. We talked to Travis Jones, I want to say last week, and I had asked him, you know, not Travis Jones, I'm sorry, Broderick Washington on the defensive line, and this was actually the other day, and I asked him just what's the difference with this defense today compared to this time last year? And his answer was they're playing more as a unit and guys are buying in more. And I think those were two of their issues last year when they were struggling. They didn't play together. Communication was their biggest issue. And guys being in sync and playing on one accord, I mean, they made some personnel changes. They benched Marcus Williams. Ardarius Washington goes in. They benched Trenton Simpson halfway through the year, second-year linebacker who was replacing Patrick Queen. And they replaced him with a couple of special teams guys. So I think this year what I see from this defense is a much more aggressive defense that has talked about turnovers being more of an emphasis, and they've shown it in practice and in these preseason games as well. So I think this defense, barring health, should be an elite defense this season.
How do they manage constantly having that expectation, as you mentioned, of is this going to be the year that we finally get over the hump and make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, you know, in terms of like how they manage to always be in that conversation, or how do they deal with it?
How do they deal with it? Asking in the optimism that maybe that'll be Washington's conversation for the next couple of years.
I mean, it's a standard. It's a standard you want to set. You know, this is a franchise that has had great teams, had great, some of the all-time great defenses, first and foremost. And that was during a time where, you know, I think defenses to a degree still win championships, but not as much as they used to because the rules were different. You could do more things defensively than you can now. I think the Ravens have, again, I think it's just them having a standard and sticking to it. They have the consistency at the top of the organization. There's not a lot of turnover from year to year in the front office, or they do lose coaches, and for good reason, because their coaches are good. So teams poach their coaches,
right.
But they seem to always kind of reload that stable. You move on from Greg Roman, then you go get Todd Monken, right? I mean, you have the great defensive coordinators that you've had. You go get Mike McDonald, and now you got Zach Orr, who a lot of people are very high on. John has been there forever. You know, it's a foundation. It's a culture that's set. And a lot of these new players that come to the Ravens, they always talk about how it's just different compared to the other places they've been in. And then you add in having, you know, one of the greatest players at the position at Lamar Jackson, and now Derrick Henry. They're a team right now that definitely is going for it. And for a while, or especially during Lamar's rookie contract, they weren't building around him the way that they should have. But I think now they definitely are. And I mean, they've got one of the best teams in the league right now.
So outside of, I talked about Mike Green, will there be any players that play tomorrow that you are anticipating will be significant players when the final 53 is made?
I mean, it depends. The guys like Mike Green, Malachi Starks has played in both of the games, but how much more do you need to see from these guys? That's where I'm at with it. So my gut tells me you won't see them, but if you do, you better be watching from opening kickoff, because they probably aren't going to get more than two drives, realistically, if that. And then there's the history of the field out there. The Ravens have been bitten by that with J.K. Dobbins a few years ago, so it's the last preseason game. They have played three of their starting offensive linemen in the first two preseason games. I would be surprised if that's the case again this time. So I'm thinking it's going to be all young guys, all backups. Like, I don't even think you see Keaton Mitchell play on tomorrow. I really think it'll be a lot of back-end roster guys and a bunch of bubble guys and practice squad guys that you'll see.
Final one here. Cordell Woodland, kind enough to give us some time here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. How's Cooper Rush been? Are they keeping two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks, do you think, when it's cut-down day?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of the main roster, they like Leary. Leary was on the practice squad last year. He was their emergency quarterback. No, Josh Johnson was their emergency quarterback last year. But Leary was on the practice squad. So I would anticipate it being similar to that again. In terms of Cooper Rush, he hasn't looked good. And I'm surprised by that. I mean, I've watched enough Cooper Rush from his time in Dallas, and when he's been put out there to start games, he's looked well. He's looked good enough, especially here recently. Granted, he's throwing to, in my opinion, a top five receiver in the league in CeeDee Lamb. As talented as the Ravens are, they don't have a top five receiver in the league out there. But so he hasn't looked good. He's thrown an interception in each of the preseason games. His camp hasn't been great. Very turnover prone, but I still tend to believe that if, God forbid, something did happen to Lamar and you needed him for a couple of games, he'll look better than he has when you put Derrick Henry behind him and Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and all those weapons and the starting offensive line. I think he'll look much better than he has to this point. So I still think he's serviceable. I think he's a subtle upgrade over what Josh Johnson was for them.
Cordell, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Enjoy the game out there tomorrow. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
At his Cordell Woodland covers the Baltimore Ravens for 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. You can hear him as the co-host of the Fresh Take there. He's done a great job given the up-to-date Ravens stuff after practice. His Twitter, if you're a Ravens fan, at Cordell Woodland, has been fantastic with that. So really happy that he was kind enough to make some time for us here. In about 20 minutes, I got five hot takes for the Commanders season that I want to run by you, and it's going to be your job to tell me if I'm crazy or if I'm on the money with those. So get on the phone lines in 20 minutes at 301-230-0980. But coming up next, we preview college football with my guy Rob Brown from the BetMGM Network and the Fan Upstate in South Carolina. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dente sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAF Giving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.